Good evening. How is everybody? Living in the fog, I hope. The favor of Almighty God. Living in the fog. Remember that? My pastor's message, man. I love that. Before I get started on the message, just have a little testimony. Many of you know I earn my giving as an inspector, and I was sort of hoping when they announced that the cracker plant was coming to Monaca, that was going to be my ticket out of the field. Not as young as I used to be. Still not getting old. I'll tell you the rest of that later. But I just figured God was going to use that to answer my prayer. And we spent a lot of time. I personally put a few hours into a humongous application. It went all the way to corporate to complete this application. And when the word finally came down last April that we did not get the contract, I was a little disappointed, you know. I just felt like that was going to be God's way of doing it. 2 days later, say 2 days.
2 days.
2 days later, I get called into my contact's office at the company that I work for. I'm a contractor. And he said, Mel, he said, when are you... I know you're wrapping things up. He said, when are you planning on coming back? 2018. I said, no, I'm not coming back till 2019. And he looked at me and said, oh, you're not going to be gone that long. He says, I got enough purchase orders to keep you here through the third quarter. I know we can find something for you to do. I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. You know, here I am putting all my hope in this job that never materialized and God had other plans. So praise God. Well, it gets better. Because a week ago tomorrow, last Thursday, I have a meeting with him and his boss, who is actually my main contact, and we're going through and we're going to totally revamp the mechanical integrity program at this chemical plant. And he says, what I want you to do is split this up into five segments, for one for every five years. It's on a five-year inspection interval, folks. Do the math. I'm going to be there full-time. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. This is it, you know. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. He had something way better. And I said that to say this. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for me, he will do for you. So don't give up. When you're believing for something, don't give up. Amen? You and I are joint heirs with Jesus, Bob. Amen? So let's talk a little bit about our inheritance tonight, shall we? Open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from three different versions tonight. The New Living Translation, the New King James, and also the Amplified. Okay, I'll try to remember to tell you what version I'm reading, but just follow along. Galatians chapter 3, excuse me. Look to verse 13. But Christ has rescued us from the curse of the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. I'll look down to verse 29. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. New King James says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, right? So I've never been to an attorney's office for the reading of a will, but if you believe everything you see on movies and television, it looks like it could be kind of exciting. Some rich friend or rich relative might leave you something, you know. But fortunately for us, we don't have to go to any lawyer. We can read the will anytime we want. Amen? Amen. So, what do you say we read the will tonight? As a Christian, you are the seed of Abraham. So what does that mean? It means everything that God promised him belongs to you. It's been passed down to you through Jesus. Amen? Abraham's blessing is our inheritance. It's been willed to you by the word of God. So, again, let's read the will. Turn back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Up to verses, we'll just start with, read the first three verses. New King James. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, Bert, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Church, to fully grasp what God was saying here, we have to realize what he meant when he blesses someone. He doesn't just tell them, have a good day, right? He is conferring upon them the power to increase and prosper in every area of life. In fact, I looked it up in W.E. Vines and also Webster's Dictionary. Listen to the definitions for bless. To cause to prosper. To make happy. To bestow favor upon. There's the fog. To consecrate to holy purposes. To make successful, not stopping. To make prosperous in temporal concerns pertaining to this life, to guard and preserve. That's bless. Yeah. So it was actually the blessing of God that made Abram rich. It caused him to prosper wherever he went. You're there in Genesis. Turn to Genesis 13. I'm going to read verse 2 from the Amplified. It says, Abram was extremely rich in livestock and in silver and in gold. Say, extremely rich. The next time the devil wants to point out the balance in your checkbook, remind him whose you are and who you serve. Yeah. Amen? The promise doesn't stop with finances. Look back to verse 3. It says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Financial prosperity wasn't the only benefit God's blessing brought Abram. It also made him an overcomer, because God had declared that those who cursed Abram would themselves be cursed. Because he did that, he could conquer any enemy that came against him or his family. In Genesis chapter 14, it tells of a time when Lot and his family were taken captive by wicked kings who made war on Sodom and Gomorrah. When Abram received the news about his nephew, he didn't sit around wondering what to do. Oh me, wringing his hands. No. Let's look there. That's Genesis 14, verses 14 through 16. New Living Translation. When Abram heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he mobilized the 318 trained men who had been born into his household. Then he pursued Chedorlaomer's army until he caught up with them at Dan. There he divided his men and attacked during the night. Chedorlaomer's army fled, but Abram chased them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. Abram recovered, listen, all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and other captives. Imagine that. 318 guys goes and knocks the snot out of three kings in their armies. All right? Four kings in their armies, excuse me. And they recovered everything and everyone that had been taken captive. So, yeah, I got to ask yourself, what do you think gave Abram the boldness to go after those kings? He knew he had a covenant with Almighty God, right? He knew God had promised to be an enemy to his enemies, then he dared to act on that promise. Abram understood that God was God, and he took God at his word. Turn to Genesis 15, verse 1, Amplified. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great. Question, did God keep his promises to Abram? Yeah. Of course he did, because he's not a man that he should lie, right? That's what the word tells us. All right, turn a couple pages to Genesis 17. First seven verses, New Living Translation. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. Verse 7, I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Say, he's talking about me. And I will give the entire land of Canaan where you now live as a foreigner to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. Say this with me. God keeps his promises. Amen. And I want to point something else out. Circumstances can't stop the blessing. When we look at the life of Abraham, we should be convinced there is no limit what the blessing of God can do for those who dare to believe. It makes the impossible possible. That was for Pastor Jack. He's not here. I know he's listening on CD. It makes the impossible possible. For example, when God told Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son, naturally speaking, there was no way, baby. Right? They were both more than 90 years old. Sarah had been barren her whole life. But that didn't matter. Their covenant of blessing with Almighty God overcame those obstacles, church. It not only, this, I found this interesting, it not only enabled Sarah to give birth to Isaac, it kept her alive 37 till he was 37 years old. It's amazing enough for an old barren woman to have a baby, but for her to live long enough to raise him to manhood, that's God. Amen? Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21, New King James. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generation forever and ever. Amen. Abundantly, all above all we could ever ask or think, church. The power of God's blessing didn't stop there either. God renewed Abraham's youth that after Sarah died, he was able to remarry and have six more kids. How you doing? And at 175 years old, the Bible says in Genesis 25:8, Amplified, Abraham's spirit was released and he died at a good, ample, full old age, an old man satisfied and satiated, and was gathered to his people. Say it with me. God keeps his promises. Come on. God keeps his promises. And he promised Abraham that he would bless his seed. So, Abraham's seed. Let's start with Isaac. Was Isaac blessed? Yeah. Genesis 25:11 says, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. Church, he sowed in the time of famine and reaped 100-fold. No matter what happened around him, Isaac prospered because God keeps his promises. How about great-grandson Joseph? Anthony preached a message. It must have been 2 or 3 years ago now. I mean, when was your last message? 2 years ago? Best thing never came out of Buffalo. Sure, his brother sold Joseph into slavery, but God. But God. No matter what happened to him, but God. Because God keeps his promises. Look back to Galatians again. Galatians 3. We read it before, we're going to read it again. Verse 29, New Living Translation. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Is there any doubt that you're a child of God? Is there any doubt that you're an heir? Just in case you're lying, we're going to look at some more scriptures. Look to John chapter 1, John's Gospel, chapter 1. I want you to be fully persuaded. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, Amplified. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, and right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians chapter 1. Make you turn your pages tonight. I'm not apologizing. Suck it up, Buttercup. Verse 5, New Living Translation. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. A couple pages back to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. First 7 verses, New Living Translation. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age the father set, and that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. Verse 4, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, and subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Daddy, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Just trying to get you fully persuaded, church. Romans 8, let's look to verses 14 through the first part of 17. New Living again. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. You are a child of God, period. You are an heir of Almighty God, period. Okay, Brother Dean, I'm an heir, so what exactly does that include? It includes Abraham's blessing, right? The blessing of Abraham, we already discussed that. But I want to look at 7 aspects of our inheritance tonight. The first one I want to look at is spiritual blessings. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4, New Living Translation. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, there they are, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Jump down to verse 11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. And down to verse 18. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those who he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. The next aspect is salvation and eternal life. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Still out there?
Yes, sir.
Timmy is. I heard him coughing. 1 Peter 1, we're going to read verses 3 and 4. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Left turn back to Titus. Back to Titus chapter 3. Verses 3 and 4, New Living. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Matthew chapter 19, Matthew's Gospel chapter 19. Verse 29, this New King James. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Number 3, we inherit the kingdom. You're there in Matthew, turn to chapter 25. Verse 34, New King James. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Fourth aspect is the earth. You're there in Matthew. Go to chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Sermon on the Mount. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit thee. Earth, part of our inheritance. Go to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Verses 7 and 8. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. Number 5 is one of my favorites. Go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. We're going to talk about power. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Verse 19, New King James Version. Behold, I give unto you power. That's exousia, right? All you Benjaminites got that written in your Bibles. I know you do. Give you power, exousia, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, that's dunamis, of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power, that's dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, I'm just going to give you a little refresher. Exousia, that's what? Delegated authority, right? The power of authority or influence and of right or privilege. And dunamis is the strength, power, and ability, right? Power for performing miracles. But where's our power come from? The name. Say the name. Sixth aspect is the name. Let's look at John's Gospel. John's Gospel. Start in chapter 14. Are you bored yet? We're only talking about your inheritance. I'm just saying. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Verses 13 and 14, all these next three scriptures are going to be in John and all be out of the New King James. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Go to John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Turn another page to chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. And the last one is all things. That's in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Verses 5 through 7, New King James. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall, there it is, inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Church, I know I made you turn to a lot of scriptures tonight, but I want to wrap up by saying we didn't earn that inheritance, right? We just accepted it, amen? And I read this somewhere, I don't know who to give credit to, but he said this, we don't get a great inheritance because we are great children. We get a great inheritance because we have a great Father. Good, good Father, amen? Our inheritance can't be a pride thing because it's not about us, right? It's about the grace of the Father and the love of the Son. Yeah. Listen to Paul's words. Acts chapter 20, verse 32, New Living says, and now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart from himself. Yeah. In Galatians 3:18, New Living says, for if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise, but God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. There's so much more to our inheritance. I could do three or four services, and I still don't think we would scratch the surface, because our inheritance is far beyond anything we can imagine, church. I'm going to close with one final scripture and ask that you turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. To the second part of verse 9. New Living Translation. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Talked about a lot of things tonight. But if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember that God, say it with me, God keeps his promises. Amen.